If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Thessalonians. All right, 2 Thessalonians is where I would ask you to turn. And we want to go to 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 2. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, I want to preach to you a message out of verses 1 through 12 is what we'll focus on. And the title of the message is The Removal of He Who Letteth. Well, there's a catchy title for you, isn't there? Wow, that one's just going to, I can tell it's going to be something that's going to pass through the internet, going to be on everybody's, going to be sharing it on Facebook. That title is so catchy. But it's obviously talking about what 2 Thessalonians refers to as He Who Now Letteth Will Let. That word let meaning hinders, okay, means he is working against. So again, the title of it is The Removal of He Who Letteth. So 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, beginning with verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. With those verses there, I'm not exactly sure why the Lord wanted me to preach this message this evening, but he just laid it on my heart. If nothing else, probably to encourage us in the fact that as we look around the world all around us and we see really just craziness going on, it should not surprise us, because it's the world falling prey to what God has already said for a long time the world would fall prey to. And we'll see this in a little bit, but because they do not want the truth, then they believe a lie. And Satan and whomever else can simply lie to them, and they just eat it right up as if it were the truth. It's hard for us to watch and disheartening to watch, but remember, the world is going to be what the world is. Do not be surprised when it is that way. You and I have been privileged to be able to live in a great nation, the United States of America. What a blessing that has been. But I want you to understand that our society, which long ago was founded on biblical principles, and we came from a God-fearing people, that is really a very strange happening in the history of mankind. When you look back at the history of mankind, it has been a procession of very ungodly governments ruling in the world, and it's very unusual that there is a country that had the godly heritage that we have had. Now, we're losing it now, but we shouldn't be surprised at that, because that's what happens in the world. We should be more surprised at the goodness of God that he allowed this anomaly of the United States and our biblical founding to exist even for as long as it did. So you and I can be encouraged in that and recognize that going forward, listen, things are not necessarily going to get better. I'm not saying there won't be a reprieve from a few things here and there, but when we're talking about the world and just the world system and cultures all around the world heading straight for
the deceivableness of unrighteousness that this man of sin will bring, then we should expect that it's just going to keep moving in that direction. And we need to look to the Lord and remember what he told us to do. So hopefully it will be an encouragement to you to have your thinking right when you look at this world. All right, let's pray, and then we'll get right into this message entitled The Removal of He Who Letteth. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for what your word says and how it lays out the truth so clearly for us. Now, Lord, I pray that you would use this message however you want. I think, Lord, that it should be an encouragement to your people. But I also know, Lord, that you do things with your word that I cannot comprehend. And so I pray that you would use your word as you want to. Please just use me as your mouthpiece. But give all of us, including me, ears to hear your voice as you speak through your word. I pray that you'd help me to be true to your word, to not bend and twist it to say what I want it to say. But rather, Lord, help me to say, thus saith the Lord, and be able to say so truthfully. Thank you, Lord, for these, your people. Thank you for their faithfulness to be here on a Wednesday night. Bless them for that, Lord. Encourage them in it. I pray, dear Lord, that you would make it worth the time, the effort, the energy that it took for them to be here on this Wednesday evening. And Lord, more than anything, would you glorify your own name through us all. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to give you really just 4 points this evening. The first one we're going to look at is the fact that the world has been given the truth, all right? We're talking about the people that are in this world, not talking about the people that are in the church or churches, all right? Not those who are saved, but we're talking about just the world and the people that are in it. First of all, they have been given the truth. Now, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures, so follow with me, Romans 1. Notice what the Bible says about the fact that the world has been given the truth, Romans 1, 18. And I'm going to read these things fairly quickly as I get there, for time's sake, all right? Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. By the way, Romans 1 is almost a parallel passage with 2 Thessalonians 2. Same basic idea, and that is that the world has been given the truth. Now, the scripture is clear right there that the world has been given the truth to the point where they are without excuse. That's all of us. That's whether we lived in a Western culture where the Bible is free and available, and there's people out sharing the gospel everywhere, or whether that's somebody who lives in the deepest, darkest jungles of wherever. There is enough light that God has given where he's made it clear to all of us that there's a truth, that there is a true God, that we are without excuse. And by the way, the very first verse tells us, and this is important for us to catch, that when God pours out his wrath on this world for their unbelief, he is just to do so. He is not unrighteous to pour out his wrath upon an unbelieving world because he has given enough light. That means that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and the wrath of God falls, even on those who are in deepest, darkest, wherever, and they have not had a Bible, that God's wrath on them is just. And he is not unrighteous to do so, all right? Now, there's a reason for that. And it's alluded to here in Romans 1, but let's look at Psalm 19, and the Word of God will tell us why God is righteous to pour out his wrath, because he has given light. Well, how has he given light? Psalm 19 shows us one of the ways that he has given light. Psalm 19, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture, and in Sunday school we've been covering some of this. Psalm 19, verse 1, where it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So let me stop there, and I would encourage you to read the rest of the psalm. But let me point out to you that he uses a couple of times the word speech, and then speech is mentioned again in the next verse. And then in verse 3, it also says voice. What that tells us is the creation actually speaks to all of us as human beings of every language. It's not just that, okay, if you're intelligent, if you're looking for God, you'll see him in the heavens. No. The Bible's clear that the heavens declare that they have a voice, that they speak. In other words, this, it's like when my children are doing something and they're not paying attention to dad, but I call their name and say, Julianne, do this for me, or Rachel, or whomever, right? That makes sure they're paying attention now. That when I say that, it grabs their attention. It's not that they have to be looking at me and always wondering if I'm going to say something. I'm using my voice to catch their attention. That's the idea of what goes on in the firmament every single day. God is giving the truth to anyone who is on this earth by the tabernacle of the sun and the creation of this world and the stars that are in the sky and all of the other parts of the creation. They are speaking. They're getting people's attention. Now, they might be shutting their ears and saying, la, 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 I don't want to hear. But they are still speaking. There is no excuse. The truth has been given, and creation is part of that. Look at Proverbs chapter number 8. There's another way that God is giving people the truth. Proverbs 8 and verse 1. It says, there doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. We'll stop there again. Do you see how God is giving the truth to people? Not only does creation speak to them, wisdom cries out to them. The next chapter, Proverbs 9, we won't look at it, but basically says a very similar thing, that wisdom is crying out. Notice again, there is a voice. It's not just that only those who really seek God will find him. Okay, and I guess I shouldn't use that term, because the Bible does say that when you seek me, you'll find me. But what I'm trying to say is, it's not only those who are ultra-religious, who are seeking God, who know the truth. The truth is crying out in this world. God has not given a silent voice to the truth. It's over and over and over. Creation does it. Wisdom cries out. I believe wisdom is the Holy Spirit personally, but regardless, it's personified in Proverbs 8 as wisdom, and wisdom even speaks of how if you'll follow me, it's better than silver. It's better than gold. Listen, people hear this because wisdom is crying out. People know that God's way is better. That's interesting, isn't it? Because God has made it so that people have been given the truth. Look at Psalm 119. There's another way that God has given the truth to this wicked world. Psalm 119, look at verse 105. And notice what the Bible tells us in Psalm 119 and verse 105. The Bible says there, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I would submit to you this evening that this world has been given the truth in creation through wisdom crying out and because the word of God is in this world. The Bible is in this world. Now, I realize not everybody has access to the Bible. But if we're honest, the vast majority of the world does. The Western world especially has access to the Word of God. One of the beautiful things about the technological age that we are in is, Brother Dexter and I have talked about this recently on our church website, our little church's website. We have people who are accessing our website from all over the world. Even just this month, there were several new people that accessed our website from China. There's several people from other places. I noticed that Taiwan, there was somebody who had accessed. I noticed that a couple of different countries within the continent of Africa, and obviously places like Australia and Europe and all over the place. Somebody in Bulgaria accessed our website. Probably a loser. But anyway, no, just teasing. We love Pastor Jeff. I'm teasing you, Pastor Jeff. I'm sure it was him or Grace. But all over the world, and why? Because of the internet. And again, we're a little ministry, but there are other greater, bigger, more advanced ministries that even, I'm sure they must see even much more from some of these dark places, and even perhaps in the Middle East and things like that. There are ways to get around the filters that countries would put, and people just do it. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. It's amazing. Listen, there is access to the Word of God, and the Word of God is a light in this dark world. The truth is there. And again, in our Western world especially, the Word of God is everywhere. There is access to it. Even in the wicked world that we live in, have you traveled much these days? Have you noticed, even in communities like ours, there are billboards that have Bible verses, and not just goofy Bible verses, if there is such a thing. But you know what I'm talking about? Like real, solid verses that will bring conviction to the heart and let people know that Jesus is the way. The Word of God is there. The truth is there. But then also, and we won't look at this one, but Matthew 16 refers to the fact that the church is built upon the rock of Jesus Christ, and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. There is light in this world, and there is truth in this world, not only because of creation and because of wisdom and because of the Word of God, but friends, also because of the local church. This organization that we have, that we are a part of, our organism, this body of believers that we are a part of, and the many other churches in our area and around our state and around the nation, around the world, are little lighthouses around this world. And friends, I'm encouraged by what a local church can do. By the way, we had a young man who was here on Sunday as a result of the street ministry. That man came, he sat right over about where the Hardings are tonight, and he sat there. When I met him after the service, he said he received an invitation the previous day when we were out on street ministry. Listen, he came, he heard the gospel. Now, he didn't seem real happy. I don't know why. Could have been something about the preaching. I don't know. But he heard the gospel. Listen, the church is there, and thousands of those tracts go out every weekend. At the very minimum, hundreds go out every weekend. So that's just our church. Then there are other churches in our area that do similar things. And there are churches around the state. Again, the church is a light, and the truth is there. And then look at John 16. Here's another way that the truth is given. We've seen in creation, through wisdom crying out, the Word of God, the church, and now John 16, verse number 8. The Bible also tells us there about the truth going out, and when He is come, that's the Comforter, John 16, 8, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. If you read the rest of the context of John 16, what you learn about that passage of Scripture is this. When the Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost, He came in a very special way. Now, the Spirit of God has always existed. He is God. The Spirit of God has always been at work in this world. Just read the Old Testament. But when He came on Pentecost and He came upon the church, I don't understand it all, but according to Jesus' own words there in John 16 and the chapters right around that, He came in a special way to the point where He said right here, when the Comforter is come, He will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. What I believe that means is from that point until the day that the Lord Jesus returns, the Spirit of God will be in this world doing a greater work than He had ever done before. That it wouldn't just be the preachers preaching the truth, not even just a physical form of the Word of God in somebody's hands where they could read the truth, not even just creation and wisdom, but that the Spirit of God would be going around in this world reproving men of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. So there is no excuse. The truth is there. The Spirit of God is working in every person. And that's why, friends, you can be confident as you go out and witness that the Spirit of God is working on people. Now, they might be turning a deaf ear. They might be not wanting to hear. They may be resisting the Spirit's will. But I want you to understand the Spirit of God is working in this world. So the truth has been given to this world, which leads me to the second point. And that for this one, we need to turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And I want you to see that this world has still rejected the truth. We're talking about as a generality now, not everybody, obviously. We were a part of this world before we got saved, and yet by God's grace, we believe the truth. But we're talking about as a general rule, the vast majority of this world has rejected the truth, even though the truth is there. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and I want you to look at verse number 10, where it says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved." You see, they rejected the truth because they had a lack of love for the truth. That's the real issue. When you look at our society today and you look around at all of the lies that are being willingly believed by this world, and there are many. Things that to you and me, we say, it's so obvious that that's a lie, it's not even fathomable how anyone could possibly believe it. How could they believe that lie? One simple answer, they do not love the truth. And when they do not love the truth, they reject the truth. And here's the interesting thing about truth. You cannot reject one truth and expect that in every other case you're going to believe the truth. It's a domino effect. They all go together because the truth is not just, as in, we joke about this every once in a while, right? This is my truth. Or this is the truth in this situation. No, listen, friends, the truth is rather than one little piece of truth here and one little piece of truth there and one piece of truth over here, the truth is all-encompassing. Either you love the truth as a whole or you don't. You don't get to love the truth about this thing over here that makes you feel warm and fuzzy and yet not love the truth over here about something that makes you feel uncomfortable. Either you love the truth or you hate the truth. And this world does not love the truth because Jesus is the truth. And we'll go into that a little bit here, but if they believe the truth as a whole, they would have to believe on Jesus. They would have to believe what the Bible, the truth, says about their sin. That's one of the things as Christians that I know the world does not understand with us, that we look at the foolishness of this world and the wickedness of this world, and we say, that's wicked, that's ungodly, God hates it. And I think the world looks at us and says, well, you just hate me and you think you're a better than, you know, holier than thou. No, actually, I don't. You see, because I love the truth, I look at your sin and say, that's sin. And I look at my sin and say, that's sin. Because I love the truth. So the truth nails you to the wall, but it also nails me to the wall. And that's the truth about being a Christian, is you see it both ways. But the world does not love the truth. Look at Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Isaiah the prophet prophesied of this about Israel because Israel had this problem as well, or I should say really Judah, but also the northern kingdom. They had the problem in the Old Testament. It's funny, when we look at our society today, we see things and we think, well, God's angry at that and God's angry at this. And he is angry at the things that we think he's angry about. But I think a lot of times we forget that he's also angry about things that we don't even dream of. God's just angry at these things, at all that goes on. For instance, you know, every June, our governor wants that the pride flag would be flown over the Capitol. I see that and I say, God hates that. That's an abomination and God hates that. But then I also see that, you know, in our country, one of the things that we've allowed to happen is we've allowed sometimes big corporations to get tax breaks on the back of the small business guys. And you know, God hates that as well. The Bible's very clear that a just weight is something that God loves, and an unjust weight is an abomination before the Lord. That when things are done for the favor of one person over another, God's angry at that. God's angry at all kinds of stuff that we as a nation do. And I think that's why, by the way, he's going to have to clean house in a great way. Abortion is a big one of those, isn't it? Homosexuality and that kind of a lifestyle, God's angry at. But wait a minute. God's angry at those of us who would never dream of being a homosexual when we mistreat our wife. God's angry at that too. God's taking all these things down. He's angry at this because God is a God of truth. And either we love the whole thing or we don't. Look at Isaiah 59, verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumbled at noonday, as in the night we are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. It's a longer passage of Scripture. But I wanted you to see that as the prophet Isaiah was prophesying about why God was angry with Judah, a lot of it was about the fact that there was no truth, there was no judgment. They rejected the truth in their society, and it became something where even within the streets, even in the common everyday actions of the people, there was no truth because they had rejected the truth. And this world is following in that same pattern. If we turn to John chapter 3, let's look over there quickly. There's a reason why people reject the truth. John chapter number 3. John chapter 3. We look at John chapter 3, we need to start with verse number 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Why is it that the world has rejected the truth? Because their deeds are evil. And if they came to the light, if they began to love the truth, what would it mean? Again, the truth is something that is one whole. It's not little pieces of truth. So if I love the truth, I have to come to the light and my deeds have to become known. That's the only way. And friends, the world has rejected the truth because their deeds are evil. I trust that each one of us here this evening is born again. But if you've never come to the place where you've been open and honest with your sin, I would challenge you that you're not born again. Because you cannot be born again when you're not open and honest, when you don't love the truth. You can't just get by saying, well, yeah, I'm a sinner like everybody else is. No, no, no. It needs to be more truthful than that. I won't get into it too much, but just to say that the reason the world does not love the truth is because they love darkness and their deeds are evil. Which brings us back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when we've seen that they have been given the truth, yet they have rejected the truth. That leads us to the fact that there will come a time when the one who lets or hinders will be removed, and then they will fall for the ultimate deception. Now, I believe that the one who now letteth is the Spirit of God. I believe that the great restraining force in this world is the Spirit of God. Now, remember I talked about Pentecost and how on Pentecost the Spirit of God came in a miraculous way, in a wonderful way, and He's been in the world working ever since? The Bible is clear when we look at 1 John that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. And we talk about, oh, what about when Antichrist comes? Okay, well, interesting thought, but the Bible says that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. And there are many Antichrists. But it also talks about the fact that there is a restraining force on that spirit of Antichrist. You see, we can see this world moving toward a one-world government and total control. Did you listen to our president's speech at the UN recently? Just a couple of, a day or so ago? Boy, if that didn't send chills up your spine about global warming and the need for the U.S. and other countries like ours to send money into these third-world countries to combat global warming, those of us who kind of understand how the game is played a little bit, and I'm not the smartest guy on the block, but I'm smart enough to recognize how the game is played, know that they really could care less about climate change. What they want is they want everybody kind of playing on the same playing field toward a similar direction. And you go, wouldn't take much for a world leader to step up. And by the way, I don't think he necessarily has to be liberal or progressive, whatever you want to call it, left-leaning. I think he could be on the conservative, the right side, or the other side, or somewhere in the middle. But it wouldn't take much for somebody to stand up and kind of gather the forces of the world together and all of that. But there's one thing standing in the way, and that is he who now letteth. There's someone standing in the way. I believe that's the Spirit of God within the heart of every Christian, local churches. We are a restraining force, but there's coming a time when we are going to be taken out of here. The Bible's clear that someday we're going to be raptured. And when we're raptured, I believe that restraining force is gone, and then the spirit of Antichrist gets to work. Look at this in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 6. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. That's the man of sin, or we might think of him as Antichrist. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then, after he's taken out of the way, shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. What I want you to see there is when he who letteth is removed, the world will fall for the ultimate deception. Look at verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, because they didn't want the truth, they will get what they wanted. They will get the ultimate lie when he who now letteth is removed. The man of sin will be satanically empowered to do lying wonders. Look at verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders. You see, there are wonders that this man of sin will do. In other words, miraculous things, supernatural things that he'll be able to do that are satanically empowered. And I don't know what those wonders will be, but I know this about them. The adjective that God uses to describe them are lying, or is lying wonders, which means they're going to lie. Isn't that a coincidence when people who don't want the truth, they're given lying wonders? And I believe they're lying wonders because it would look like they prove that this man of sin is actually a good man. He'll be able to do things that people will say, look, I mean, he's not Antichrist. Look at these good things that he's doing. He's not going to get up and have horns come out of his head and have a pitchfork in his hand and a pointy tail. He's not going to cast people in hell or scare little kids in their bed. No, no. He's going to be doing things that people look at and say, he's a good man, look. But remember, they're lying wonders. And why are they lying wonders? Because they don't want the truth. Revelation 13, turn there with me quickly if you would, and we're almost done, all right? Revelation 13. Revelation 13. We're not going to read the first verses, the first, let's see here, we'll skip the first 10 verses. I would encourage you to read those later because they talk about the beast that comes out of the sea, which I believe is the man that we would think of as Antichrist, the man of sin, as he's called in 2 Thessalonians. But then there will be someone else, another beast, who will help him. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. That would, in other words, Satan would empower his mouth. Verse 12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That's one of them. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Obviously talking about the mark of the beast. One of the interesting things about this is you find in Revelation 13, which if you look at numerics in the Bible, 13 is often referred to as the number of rebellion. And it's interesting that in this chapter 13 of Revelation, you have the first beast, which again we often call the man of sin or Antichrist. And then you have a second beast, which we often call the false prophet. And that the main one doesn't do all the talking, it's the secondary one that does the talking, which is a antitype or a picture of what happened in the Old Testament. Do you remember who went into Egypt and freed the children of Israel? It was Moses. But Moses didn't do all the talking, and Moses didn't do all the miracles. It was his brother Aaron who did the miracles. Aaron was his mouthpiece. You see, I believe this man here, this man of sin and his false prophet, to the Jewish mindset, is going to ring a bell with Moses and Aaron. Look, just like Moses and Aaron, these are the people we are supposed to follow. And why will they be given these deceits and lying wonders? Because they didn't love the truth. It's really a scary thing, isn't it? And it makes sense when you think about the fact that Satan is a liar from the very beginning. And this is what he will do. The truth is important. Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and I'll give you one last point, and this one will be quicker than the other ones. We've seen that the world has been given the truth, that they've rejected the truth, and that when he who letteth is removed, they will fall for the ultimate deception. The fourth point is, so what should we do? I'm glad you asked, because the Bible gives the answer. The Bible always gives the answer. All right, we know that it's going to be bad when he who letteth is removed. So what should we do in the meantime? 2 Thessalonians 2, look at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, because of this, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So you and I, in our modern day, knowing that we have a completed Bible, we could say it this way, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the Bible. Hold to it. And friends, that is the answer of what should we do. More than ever before in this world, because this world is wicked, this world lieth in wickedness, this world is under the spell of the wicked one. And the reason is not because God hasn't given them the truth, God has given them the truth. But because they don't love the truth, God's given them over to a lie, and someday it's going to get even worse. In light of all that, what should you and I do? Hold tight to this book. Grab a hold of it, grab it tight, hold it to your chest, and make it your life. This right here is your lifeline in these days. And I want to encourage you, your lifeline is not a political party. Your lifeline is not a news network. Your lifeline is not even Christian radio, although sometimes that has some good stuff on it. Your lifeline is this book. So here's what you should do. Listen, read it daily. Read it daily. Read it daily. You might say, Pastor, that's so simplistic. I know. Read it daily. Read it daily. Why are the Packers better than the Bears? Because that's the way God made. No, I'm just teasing. Using them as an example, right? It's the basics. To make Brother Pritchett feel better, why is Ohio State better than Wisconsin? Because of the basics. Why do some Christians make it when others don't? The basics. The Word of God. Read the Word of God daily. But don't stop at reading it. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Your mind meditates on all kinds of stuff. I know it does. There isn't anybody in here that does not meditate. Everybody does. You allow your mind to think about things all the time. For some of you, it's dreaming about clothes. Guys, all right? For some of you, it's dreaming about hunting. Girls, okay? For some of you, it's dreaming about problems. For a lot of people, it's dreaming about news and all the bad news that's out there and the political mess and how our country's on its way down and everything else, right? And we're dreaming about this thing and what I want to buy here and all these kinds of things we're meditating on. Put all those things aside and meditate on God's Word. As Colossians 3 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Read it, meditate on it, and then thirdly, obey it. Obey it. Even in the little things, obey the Word of God. Listen, you know what to do. If you're in God's Word, you know what to do, but you don't do it. You've got every excuse in the book why you cannot obey the Word of God. And friends, that is really, if we boil it right down, that means we don't love the truth when we don't want to obey it. Because part of loving the truth is obeying it. So let's read it, meditate on it, and obey it in light of all that's going on. And don't be surprised when you see the world believe lies. You have the answer as to why. You shouldn't sit and yell at the news like Pastor Weiss does. You shouldn't go, what's wrong with you morons, like Pastor Weiss does. You know why you shouldn't do that and why I shouldn't do that? Because I know why they do that. It's right here in God's Word. He gave that answer to me thousands of years ago. I shouldn't be surprised, but I should cling to the Word of God in these days, and you should as well. Let's pray, and then we'll let you go. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that your Word has the answers for us, that we should not and are not surprised by this world and the wickedness and the deceitfulness of this world. I thank you that you are faithful, that you gave the truth and continue to give the truth to this lost and dying world, that when you judge this world and come down with fiery vengeance on this world, it will be righteousness for you to do that. Lord, I thank you that in your mercy and grace, you've saved us, and I don't know why and I don't know how, but you have, and I thank you for that. Lord, I deserve the fiery judgment that you give just as much as any other person in this community here. And yet, Lord, in your goodness and grace, you reached down and saved me. Thank you. And you did the same for these in this church and others. Lord, would you help us to hold to the truth? Thank you for being such a great and wonderful God. Would you please dismiss us with your blessing? Help us to be obedient to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.